What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Off and rolling on this Monday morning. Well, hope you're having a good start to the week. Phil's had a good weekend after starting out with a very bad weekend. So Friday night, a disaster. Saturday and Sunday, obviously, they turn it around. Look, are they back? We'll discuss. We'll try to figure it out. Eagles, man, that was an all-time snooze fest over the weekend. We'll talk about that game. More importantly, roster construction. Now that the preseason games are over, even more important than that, top end of the roster, what they got. We'll look a lot at the defense today and what's going to be on the field. Plus, are you smarter than an 11th grader today? Something I have, well, not won at yet because we've never done it with an 11th grader, but 5th grade and Seltzer 6th grade and 7th grade. And
you've won them all somehow.
I've won them all. I've touched all the bases. So today we'll have some fun with that. Look, all your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Richard Rich back. Richard Rich!
Joe.
Hello, bud.
The croissant was invented in Austria.
The croissant was invented in Austria.
Wow, and what we've been lying
to our friends. It's not French.
Obviously, yeah.
Austria, it used to be called a Kipferl. A Kipferl. All the way back in the 13th century, Austria, crescent-shaped pastry, denser, sweeter than the modern croissant, but the Kipferl is where the croissant came from.
Who would have thought?
In Germany.
Well, I'll tell you what, my man. I got no comment between the croissant.
I thought you were going to try and find a way to switch it over. It's just not going to happen.
It's tough to draw a correlation.
I shouldn't be paid as a talk show host. That was a bad job by me. It was a bad job.
No, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Was,
I don't know how you would do that. I don't know how you.
It was a
that.
Demanding expectation of yourself.
Taiwan looked like
a
croissant.
You know what? Croissants are good. You know what else was good? The Phillies yesterday.
I like that. All right.
How about Taiwan is soft and flaky like a croissant?
My God. All right. So it's amazing. So we work here at WIP, where down the hall is KYW. Dave Uram works for KYW, you know, News Radio, and it's incredible how often in a day he's the first person that speaks to me. Because, you know, I wake up, I get in here, it's all quiet and dark and all that
and
stuff.
And you're so intimidating, people don't want to interrupt you.
None of us
I'm like Kurt Schilling before a start. Stay away. All right. So Uram, I walk in here today. First person I see today, Dave Uram, he says to me, are they back? Now, he didn't have to say which team. I knew which team. I knew exactly what he meant. He's talking about the Fightin' Phils. And it's a good question. Are they back? And I'm curious where everyone stands at 215-592-9494. So here's my pretty simple answer. I'm not sure, but I'll say this.
Our catchers are.
Yeah, well, but I'll say this. If I had to give you an answer, I'm certainly not prepared to say yes. Now, I'm encouraged with what I saw the last 2 days, and let's break it down here for a second. So the biggest part of the weekend, to me by far, while most people might focus on the negative with Taiwan, and I get that, to me the most important thing from the weekend by a tenfold was Ranger Suarez. I mean, Ranger pitching and pitching well. Like, Taiwan Walker ain't going to see the ball in the postseason. And God willing, he won't see it again in the regular season. We'll get to that. But Ranger has to see the ball in the postseason. You want him to see the ball in the postseason. And obviously, him pitching on Saturday the way he did. I mean, guys, let's be real here. This thing gets so much more settled down and easy if Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, and Sanchez can be Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, and Sanchez. And that is by far my biggest takeaway from the weekend, that Ranger did his job, and obviously that bodes well moving forward. Now, the bats, they also, Saturday and Sunday, I mean, John, a lot of lumber out there. A lot of lumber.
Record amounts of lumber,
yeah.
And it was manufacturing the little stuff. It was taking the ball where the pitch, you know, where the pitch wanted it to go, like just letting it where it needed to go, putting the barrel on the ball. Making small ball work, and that is great to see. That did feel like it's sort of a warm-up for postseason. Look, we can do it all, because it wasn't just small ball, of course.
Of course,
score that many runs. It was outstanding
so,
to
John,
see.
Let me,
and very, very, the fact that the catchers are both rolling, like, I'm not going to say the whole team is rolling, but the guys who are tuned into every tiny detail of what the opponents are doing, I think it's a great sign that the catchers are hitting. Now the rest of the team can sort of follow suit. It feels like their approach is dialed in
well,
and focused the way it needs to be. you know, as we get to the postseason.
So look, 215-592-9494 for everyone to react to the weekend. And please feel free to take a bite out of Taiwan because he deserves it. And by the way, so do they as an organization. I mean, it really is enough is enough. It really is way past the point of enough is enough. But considering they hadn't yet considered that, then please put the thinking caps on, Phillies, and end the misery. I mean, you can figure out next year in 5 months. But enough of this. All right. I'm curious if people think the Phillies are back. By the way, if you want to weigh in on the Eagles and that debacle of a preseason game, also you can hit that at 215. Because I thought that was a disgrace. I don't know what was a bigger disgrace this weekend, Taiwan or the Eagles. Although, believe it or not, I lean Eagles. But on the Phillies, John, are they back? Do you think our fighting Phillies have reestablished? Or is it just ridiculousness that every time they win 2 or 3, we have this same conversation and then they lose 2 or 3? Are they back?
I can't. I want so badly to say yes. It's still too early for me to say for sure. I am encouraged so profoundly by the fact that their approach is sharpened. I am encouraged so profoundly by the fact that Ranger Suarez looks like Ranger Suarez, and that's a huge deal. If his back, because a back can take you out of everything, a back can destroy your season, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So you got Wheeler. I'm not close enough to call him Wheels.
I gotcha.
You got Wheeler, you got Aaron Nola, you got Ranger Suarez, you got Christopher Sanchez. I feel great about that. You know, just on the eve of facing the Houston Astros.
No, that hits me. I
absolutely, like, that was revelatory for me when we played this team and got beaten up because their pitching was so outstanding.
Yeah.
They no-hit us 4 games in. In the World Series, it was very clear at that moment that our pitching needed to be brought up to speed with what the Astros were doing, in my mind. So I think we're there.
No, I think you were right about that. It was a pretty big difference in pitching on the back end of the rotation.
Major, major. Yeah, yeah. And now I feel great about where we're situated. And this weekend proved it with Ranger. I feel good about that. But I can't say, after 2 games of 11 runs scored, that I'm certain that our approach is going to remain so solid and you know, steadfast.
Yeah, there have been a lot of hitters this year that have struggled at various points. Obviously, Saturday and Sunday, pretty much everyone hit. The old dude at the vet used to say, everybody hits, woohoo! Like, that guy was in play this weekend. Because yesterday, what was it, 16 hits or 18 hits? It was unbelievable. All right, James, are they back? I'm curious where you stand on that. But I'm also wondering, do you focus from this weekend, as you sit here this morning, more on the negative on Taiwan or on the positive of Ranger and the bats?
So, first, they're not back yet, but I was very encouraged, especially with the offensive production, obviously. Yep. You know,
It was a lot.
Yeah. But again, you know, we've seen this team hit a lot and then go cold again, so I need to see them start to sustain it. But I think the most interesting thing is absolutely the Ranger-Taiwan thing. And for me personally, I focus on the Ranger side because ultimately, as much as Taiwan drives me crazy, as much as I'm with you, if I'm the manager of the Phillies, if I'm the general manager of the Phillies, if I'm the owner of the Phillies, like, he's done. Like, I'm not putting Taiwan Walker out there again. Like, phantom injury, DFA, like, whatever the hell you got to do, don't care. But ultimately, at the end of the day, no matter what happens from now to the end of the season, assuming they make the playoffs,
which they will,
Taiwan Walker won't be a part of that.
That's
he
right.
He has nothing to do with
he's
it.
Not he's not going to complain on social media, right?
I don't even care. He can. Go for it. The point is, Ranger Suarez is a huge part of that and really matters. So seeing Ranger look the way he did, that was by far the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, no, that was big, guys. Look, I'm really wondering where everyone's at. 215-592-9494. A few different things. The positive of Ranger and the bats versus the negative of Taiwan. What kind of hits you more as now we're, you know, past the weekend and it's Monday morning? I mean, let's be real, guys. Friday night, we were all in a bad mood on Taiwan. I think it's so 2005 Phillies. I really do. I think it's a disgrace. I supported it longer than most because I thought it was worth, when he came back from the injury, to try to get him right, give it a shot. To me, it was very obvious after one start, all right, enough. Okay, and you can figure out how to deal with the next 2 years of the contract in the offseason. You can deal with that down the road. But it's so past the point. But I think the Ranger thing and the bats are really big. Now, look, whether these guys that hit are going to keep hitting, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, we know the players that have struggled. Brandon Marsh and Stott especially have struggled. Those guys got hits this weekend. JT hadn't gotten a homer in a while. He got two. So there was a lot to this whole series. Well, where you stand, 215-592.
What about the fact that our offense hasn't played, our Eagles offense hasn't played the entire preseason,
yeah,
Joe? Like, we have some digging to
do. Well, how about this fact? That it was a disgrace what the Eagles put out there over the weekend. How about that fact?
Yeah.
That was a disgrace. I thought that was an insult to fans. I did. I thought it was an insult. I thought it was a flat. We're going to get into that up ahead.
I believe in dress rehearsals. Yeah. They made a mistake. Made a mistake in not having a dress rehearsal. There's no dress rehearsal. The offense didn't show up the entire preseason. I don't care what you say. One joint practice is not enough. One joint practice is not getting you ready for the regular season.
All right, look, a lot to bite on here. 215-592-9494. Is John right with that? They should have played the starters. And what do you make of that game? I thought it was a debacle. The most boring thing I'd seen in years. Jota Cameron, John Ritchie, great to be with you on this Monday morning, 94 WIP. All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning. So, what Devin just referenced there, the Are You Smarter Than an 11th Grader? This is a game we've played every summer for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I think I'm 5-0. And, you know, look, we all know the Hammer obviously specializes in sports knowledge, but it's the other stuff in which I typically struggle. The science, there's all sorts of stuff. I'm just not, you know, common sense. So, every year, Seltzer... We've upped this every year because I beat like a 5th grader and a 6th grader and a 7th grader. So now we're up to 11th grade, and it's going to be...
It was fluky, Joe. It was not
a little fluky.
He's acting like he deserves recognition for these wins.
I did better than people expected, though.
That wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
Like somebody...
No, I mean, when I asked what gas is needed for photosynthesis to occur, you said diesel. So, yes,
exactly.
You were not good. You were quite bad. Yes.
This is how
That's
we got my favorite
good.
Jota Camerism of all time.
The diesel thing?
What gas to flowers? Our plants need diesel.
Yeah.
Well, diesel fuel.
That's just the first gas that came to mind.
That reveals something.
Okay.
That answer, despite the fact that you won, that showed us a lot.
All right, well, look.
So we've learned so much through this journey over the years where you have won, but it doesn't mean that you're deserving of these wins.
How much did you win by last year? I wasn't in when you did it last year.
Tiebreaker. It was a tiebreaker.
Was it?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's why the diesel thing was a question. Yeah, it wasn't one of my initial questions.
So maybe, just maybe, this is finally the year where the truth is arrived at.
The truth
set
you free.
Is you don't deserve to beat these high school kids.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for...
They know more than you.
Those kids have stunk at what they did, and they choked in the air. Maybe this guy's going to choke today. Is it a guy or a...
That's messed up.
Is it a guy or a girl?
A guy, yes.
All right. Now, Devin, to what degree can I get inside this kid's head, or is that inappropriate?
I mean, don't go full hammer on it.
Well, I mean, you know.
Maybe refrain from calling him a loser too many times. Maybe let's stick to, like, under three losers.
That's
today.
Right.
That's true.
All right, let's get a lot of calls here going. The Phil's the weekend. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Eagles in just a moment. Jay in Wilmington right now. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, gang.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, buddy.
You know what? It's a nice day not to be going to work angry at the Phillies, but, you know, my wife moved here from West Virginia 2 years ago, knew nothing about baseball. Diehard Phillies fan.
Nice.
Loves the sport. Diehard. Turns to me last night and says, it's not fair. It's not fair that I can't have faith and the product that they produced. I said, well, welcome to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm Ranger Danger, baby. Ranger Danger for every team that faces him. I'm glad he's back. Christopher Sanchez can go pound. You know what? I'm done with this guy. But I think our test is coming up in this next series. If we can win this series, maybe I'll say they're back. I mean, what do they have? Houston next, and then they have Atlanta again. Isn't that the next two?
I believe
correct.
So.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, after the season we had, you know, for these guys to be maybe waking up, second wins, whatever it is, it was nice to see JT having a good weekend. It was nice to see Stubby out there plugging around, you know, but we still have too many gaps. Stott is still a question mark. Marsh is still a question mark.
Totally.
Harper, is Harper really going to show up and show? And honestly, when... when I'm watching the highlights and I'm watching these other teams catch fire, I feel it's when they won the World Series last year, they went to the World Series and lost. Then the NLCS and lost. Then a divisional series and lost. And I feel like we're heading on that trend. And as a fan and as someone who's invested, I go to about 20 games a year. Yep. I watch every game when possible. My daughters and children are invested. And now that I have children involved and I'm watching my children watch the games, talk about the players and see the disappointment, I'll be honest, my level of frustration goes even higher because now I am raising my children.
You're taking it personal as a dad. The Phillies are hurting your kids. You're ready to fight them. Fight the Phils.
Wow.
All right, listen.
This is next level.
Jay, fascinating phone call right there, man, on a lot of fronts, man. It was a good call. 215-592-9494. By the way, speaking of the kids, you know, the great movie, and it is obviously one of the all-time greats, The Wizard of Oz came out on this date back in 1939. So the debut of one of the all-time classics. It's also a movie, though, which clearly appeals not just to kids, but also appeals to adults. Obviously, it's part of what has helped it last, you know, the test of time for, you know, 80-something years now. Here's the deal today, 215-592-9494. When you call in to talk Phils, Eagles, whatever it may be, you've got a shot to win a really cool prize, and that's tickets, pair of tickets, to see the Killers at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion on September 7th. Tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. But you can also win them on our program today by answering this question. Like The Wizard of Oz, which obviously appeals to kids and to adults, what else appeals to both kids and adults? I mean, there's a lot of things that are only adult-oriented. There's a lot of things in life that are only kid-oriented. But some things slice through and really just make both the kids and the adults happy. Certain movies, certain... All right, John, best answer ever provides that wins the tickets. What are you thinking here? Adults and kids appeals to both.
I have a problem because this appeals to adults so intensely.
Okay.
Freeze pops.
Freeze pops.
Freeze pops have become a real issue for me because... No, I think
they're the ones that they're not like a popsicle. They're just in a plastic.
It's in a plastic thing that you stick in the freezer and you freeze it.
And they come all stuck together.
Yeah, they come all stuck together. You cut one end off and you push it up. I believe I have turned to sleep eating. I believe that I wake up in the middle of the night and I go and I put away like 10 of these things. And I don't even know that I've done it.
Can I tell you something, John?
What?
You know, a lot of callers call in and tell me I'm weird.
I like where you're going with this.
Right?
Yeah.
James, you understand the point. I mean, maybe people should put their attention a little bit more on John's weirdness. Because I got nothing on that.
I was a little bit afraid. This was discovered in my house. My daughter said, "What is going on with the trash can? Why are there all these freeze pop wrappers in the trash can?" And it was open. The trash can in the kitchen was open. It was pulled out. It's almost like I just sat there.
How do you know it was definitely you?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. But you just assumed.
Set up a camera in your house. By the way, you know what the irony of this whole thing is, James? I don't even know what a freeze pop is, and I don't think. I think there are better answers for what appeals. Like, let me give you an answer that appeals
to
kids
answer.
And adults. Holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Massive. That could have been a winner.
You know,
that
could have been a winner.
Holidays.
Yeah, but you just took every holiday.
That's
off
okay.
The board.
I'm taking them all. Okay. I'm grabbing all the holidays.
Greedy.
I'm grabbing them all.
There could have been a Halloween.
I'm grabbing
there
them all.
Been a Christmas.
All right, Seltzer. What appeals to kids and adults?
The Beatles.
My daughter
sings Yellow Submarine like all the time now. There's this show on Netflix called The Beat Bugs,
that's
and it's just
answer.
Beatles episodes. And
wow,
it's like, I'm telling you, dude, like you're wrong. Like the Beatles, most eight-year-olds. My daughter can sing Yellow Submarine the entire song.
And you know how many people can that are kids? Less than 1%.
They taught it in her school. She learned it. She learned it in school.
Kids,
they did a recital. All the kids in her class did a recital.
James. Do you think more than 1% of kids, 8 years old, know the words to Yellow Submarine?
I think more than 1% of eight. I think the vast majority of 8-year-old kids have heard Beatles songs and like them. Whether it's All You Need Is Love or Yellow Submarine or ever, Oblah Dee Oblah Da.
Such a weird guy.
I think you're just flat out wrong about
this. Devin, give me an answer.
More wrong.
Devin, give me an answer.
Which one of us has a kid?
Devin, well, I'd be a better pair, but that's okay. Devin, what appeals? And please give a better answer than that to kids and adults.
So I feel like as an adult, I've been rediscovering things, foods I loved as a kid, and realizing that they're actually pretty good and like easy. Also, peanut butter and jelly. It's a go-to. It always works.
Yes.
You usually have the ingredients always around in your house. I love it.
So I'll say this. For me, as I've gotten older, I haven't done it in a long time, but I know a lot of adults do. So
yeah.
All right.
I do almost every day.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
You do almost every day.
Yeah.
It is economically phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like it is so.
If I don't have groceries, I will always have peanut
butter. Right. How much does
that cost? It costs like 10 cents.
It's great.
Like,
yeah.
You can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for
bread,
less than a dime.
You can dip crackers in it.
Totally.
Too.
All right. Look.
Anything works.
Best answer by the end of the show.
Crackers in. Okay. Sorry.
That's a little weird. Best answer by the end of the show is going to win the tickets to the Killers. 215-592-9494. The Eagles, the defense, the game the other day, the roster, all that and more. We get into it all coming up. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, you hear me talking all the time about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Well, they've got a little something different for you right now. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV based plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon and out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment. Of course, you can cancel anytime. So visit FanDuel.com/hammer to download America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel Sportsbook at FanDuel.com/hammer. Of course, you get involved in all the games, game by game, including tonight's baseball game with the local squad. It's all there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Sponsored by Window Nation. The Phillies got their third series win since the All-Star break, putting up 22 runs on the Kansas City Royals in back-to-back games over the weekend. Garrett Stubbs stepped in yesterday after JT Realmuto's career-high 7 RBI game on Saturday and didn't miss a beat. The backup catcher had a career-high 4-hit game and was on base 5 times, drove in a run.
Swung on line over the leap of DeJong. It's down the left field line. Into scores Marsh. Stubbs trying for 2. Rojas is in at third. And Garrett Stubbs is a home run shy of the cycle today as he has expanded the Phillies' lead. It's now 4-2.
With that, the Phillies' lead in the NL East jumps back to 6 games. They host the Astros for a 3-game series starting tonight. Coming up on the show this morning, Ruben Amaro joins us starting at 7. And is Joe smarter than an 11th grader in the 8 o'clock hour? It's Window Nation's anniversary sale. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Pay nothing for 24 months and an extra $250 credit. WindowNation.com. Weather today, sunny with a high of 87. It's currently 65 degrees. To listen to 94WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
All right, so let's tackle this Eagles situation. There's various tentacles to it related to the last game, which happened on Saturday between 1 and 4. Might as well have happened between 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. for all I cared about the game. So
you're awful.
No. Don't even do that,
the
John.
The game all right. Was pretty awful.
All right. So, first off,
but you could take some things from it.
Well, all right. Before we get to what you could take from it, actually, and whether they should have played their starters or not, let me just say this. And I got to imagine I say this on behalf of millions of Eagles fans. That was a disgrace. I mean, this is the first time this preseason, you know, and it's not just the last game. It's really been all of them. This is the first year where I'm really, really now wondering whether preseason football should be played. I mean, John, you weren't here the day I covered this last week, but I could be wrong because these days all get confused. To me, it really struck me a couple days ago when I heard that Michael Penix, the rookie quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, who is likely not going to play in the next 2 years because Kirk Cousins is their quarterback and has a whopper of a contract. Like, the Atlanta Falcons sat Michael Penix for the final 2 preseason games as if they got to prevent injury so he's available for, you know, 2026 or 2027. Yeah. Like, is that
they
really...
They didn't play him in the first game.
They did or did
right?
not?
They did play him
I believe
in the
they
first
did. I saw a headline that said
game.
They weren't playing him in the last 2.
Right.
Which I
so
assume
they
means
played
they played him.
Him.
Yeah. But, like, this is... I just thought the product the other day was an embarrassment and a disgrace. And really, in many ways, I'd go as far as to say an insult to fans. Now look, maybe I got to recalibrate and just know this is what it'll be moving forward. Maybe it gets even worse. John, what do you make of the product? Then we'll get to the players. Yeah. But what'd you make of the product?
I thought initially that the product Saturday was concerning for our defense. And then I realized it's just a bunch of kids out there who don't really know what they're doing. I mean, we got the front half and the back half not matching up. You got half the secondary running zone, the other half running man. That doesn't match up. It was disastrous. I mean, that was not football the way we
here's the best line I heard. I talked to someone on the phone last night, and he said to me, here's what I learned. Here's what I took from the game. The guys the Vikings are going to cut are better than the guys the Eagles are going to cut.
Well, I don't even know. I don't even know that. Look, Cooper DeJean started the game as our linebacker, outside linebacker, because we were in nickel. We were in basically a 4-2 nickel look, which means he's the outside linebacker, Cooper DeJean is, and they asked him to play inside linebacker and take on the run like an inside linebacker, and you saw what that looked like. They ran all over
us. Yeah, they did.
And I cannot expect that Cooper DeJean expected to go into this game and be like isolated by the opponent, like, hey, we're gonna run it at him. And they didn't do it a ton, but yeah, that they took advantage of our personnel grouping. You know, when we were little, they ran it. And that worked well for them. Our blitzes don't time up at all because you got young guys trying to run the blitzes.
Well, they're not going
to
play. I mean, other than Trot Jr., most of these guys aren't going to play.
Right. So it's almost like a wasted
James,
blitz.
Do you care at all?
Every time we tried it.
I could not care less. Right. Honestly, watching it, I had the thought, I don't care about this.
I didn't either.
There were guys running around out there that I'd never heard of. Like,
at all.
Like literally, I was at training camp. Yeah. Like, it was as meaningless use of my time as
totally.
I can remember.
There were things that you could see that were not good enough. Like, Josh Job, too much cushion. I thought you got better than what I saw. Yeah. Like, there were some things that concerned me.
Well, here's one thing.
For the most part, it was a wash.
Here's something for week one I took from it. Cooper DeJean probably deactivated to start the year. Makes the team. But, I mean, if you say to me 11 days from now, do I want him playing an NFL game against a good quarterback in Green Bay?
I don't know. He just needs to know
his doubt
job.
It. I
he
doubt
needs
it.
To know better what his job is.
I just doubt it.
It felt like he was thrown out there in a situation where it's like, okay, you're going to be playing linebacker, you're going to be playing nickel, you're going to be playing slot, you're going to be doing all this stuff, and we're just going to see how you fare.
Yeah.
I think that's what we saw. And if he were given a more specific role, I think he could be a lot better.
Well, let's see.
A lot less sloppy than what we saw in that game.
Speaking of roles, Nolan Smith's been given a role, and he's not picking up the baton and running with it. I mean, he's out there. Like, when no one else is playing, Nolan Smith, look, we'll see. But as first-round picks go, this one doesn't look good.
It really sends a message.
Well, it does.
When
you're
playing that
But the message may be that the guy just stinks. That's possible. Devin, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bored were you?
Extremely, like 11, and I actually had to do post-game here on WIP with Rob Ellis for 2 hours.
Good luck.
I've never had a harder time. We were both just like, I mean, do we even break down specifics from the game?
Did you get calls?
We got a few. So there were a few, of course, you know, people mad at the final score and saying that it's concerning and the defense is concerning. And I just think there's only so much that you can take away from that because, as you mentioned, most of the guys we saw out there aren't even going to make the roster. But, you know, you did have Nolan Smith in there for the majority of the game. Kind of concerning. Cooper DeJean, I just assumed that it was they wanted him to get his feet wet and wanted him to get reps out on the field.
Rust.
And he was clearly really eager to make some contact given that first penalty he got. But yeah, it was rough. Merrill Reese, I think, during the broadcast said multiple times that he just wanted it to be over, and I've never agreed with him more in my life.
No, it was brutal. All right, so look, the game on the table, the disgrace of playing a game like that on the table, and then what you take from it, but also...
Did we get ready? Like, are we ready for the regular season based on what you saw?
You think they messed up?
Well, I feel like you can't even say based on what we saw because
we didn't see anything.
Well, no, but I think part of John's point is that we didn't see. Like,
that's
you think
problem.
They should have played starters.
Yes, Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, I don't care if they had 8 snaps in the preseason. They got a dress rehearsal. We have a new play caller. We didn't get that whole thing figured out where it's like the starters out there on the field and Kellen Moore calling plays and, you know, just getting the vibe for that rhythm. It's just it feels like the defense with Vic Fangio, they were very clear they wanted to play their, you know, the big boppers. The starters actually got out there the first 2 weeks of the preseason, and I thought that sent a message that the old school mentality was winning out. It still hasn't carried over to the offensive side of things.
No, it didn't.
That's strange.
So it doesn't bother me for their preparation for the year. It bothers me for the entertainment value or lack thereof of the preseason games. Look, all of this on the table, 215-592-9494. So to us today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about the switch to an electric vehicle, well, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got an incredible lease opportunities on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, should the NFL even continue to play preseason games? We got 4 choices here for you. A, yes, play them 3 games. B, yes, play 2 games. C, yes, play 1 game. D, no, scrap the whole damn thing. Let's go to the phones. Chavis in Coatesville. Chavis, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, what's happening, Brother Joe, Brother John, Brother Jimmy?
Chavis! It's been a while, man. Where have you been?
I know.
What's up?
I know. You always on vacation.
Oh, my bad.
Yes, Chavis.
Hey, Chavis, my son went to college. Like, I saw him off to college, man. He went to Michigan.
Where'd he go?
He's in his second year up in Ann Arbor at University of Michigan.
Oh, wow. He's a Wolverine.
Yes, he is. They won the national championship last year, his freshman year.
Was he playing football?
No.
Chavis is coming in hot.
He's on the team?
No, he's supportive of the team.
Oh, well, shit, that don't mean nothing. I'm supportive of the Braves and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that don't mean nothing.
There you go.
Don't go there.
All right, Chavis, what do you got today on our local squads?
Hey, listen, first of all, baseball. The season will come down to the last game of the season, the regular season, the last game. From now on, you're going to win 1, lose 2. What's going on with your pitching staff? You got 1 good pitcher.
Well, they got more than that. No, they got more than that.
Come on,
but they got to pitch better, and it was good to see Ranger do so.
One good pitcher.
No, you can't say that about Nola. That's not fair to Nola. That's not fair. That's not fair to him. It's not fair to Ranger.
I seen Wheeler get rockered down and
yeah, but Wheeler's great. But Chavis, Wheeler's great.
That's
right. That's the exception.
And he owns that when it happens, and he figures out a way to get back in the lab and fix it.
What do you think? Randy Johnson went 400-0 in his career. Come on now.
Too late to get in the lab. Too late. It's too late. This is coming down to the marbles.
It sounds like you don't have much confidence.
No, he doesn't. Well, he's a freaking Braves fan. He's a loser. All right, Chavis, you come after Richie. I come after you.
Hey, listen. I'm the number one Philly hater.
Well, yeah, why don't we take a call other than we do enjoy bantering with you? You're a good guy, right? You're fun and you're funny.
And because you can't have everybody calling that's a Philadelphia fan.
Chavis, how many games behind is your team?
Yeah, that would be 6.
6 right now.
Okay. By the way, the Braves.
Do you actually think you have a chance to win the division or no?
Okay,
right?
Listen,
it's not reasonable to expect.
Hey, John. You got 4 coming up next week with us.
Yes.
You got three starting tonight with Houston. So
yes.
you can't afford to lose nothing in Houston, and you can't afford to win 1 of 3 in the with Atlanta.
All right, Chavis, I need an answer from you. What appeals to kids and adults? Because this phone call certainly did not.
It appealed to me. Summer.
Summer. That's a good answer.
Wow. Great answer.
Chavis, good end to a call in which Ron Jaworski, he actually just left me a message and said,
people know when it's bull.
about Chavis's call.
Yeah.
Chavis's call. No, Summer's a good answer.
He was done with Chavis.
Summer could win. That's a good answer, man.
Right.
Everybody digs Summer. Let's get to Patrick in Tabernacle. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Great, Patrick.
Wow, what a call that was. Hey, listen, Joe, I appreciate you. You know, a lot of times, Joe, you kind of miss the mark, but boy, the Flyers schedule, what a joke. Oh. I appreciate you ranting about it. And it's not just this year. If you go back and look, what a joke. I can't get fired up for him. But
so,
anyhow,
Patrick, let me ask you a question. And, you know, next time we have Jonesy in studio, we'll ask him this because, you know, he's been with us in studio a couple times since he took that job. Gut feeling, for those, by the way, for those that don't know what Patrick's referring to, I talked last week about how when I looked at the Flyers schedule last week, I realized their first four games are all out west. Now, it's during when the Phillies could be playing in the postseason, so obviously it's going to be harder for people to watch the Flyers and be as interested in the Flyers, but four games out west, all of which start at 10 p.m., which probably means like 10:10, which means they're all going to end at like 1 a.m. How in like the world do you get people into the season, let alone the kids? I mean, I remember as a kid being so excited for the first Flyers game. I think one year was actually the Flyers at Edmonton. I think. I could be wrong. But the point is 10 o'clock to 1 a.m.? Anyway, Patrick, here's my question to you, and then I want you to make your Phillies point. Gut feeling. Do you think the Flyers request that to play peekaboo, thinking people aren't going to be into them in October? Or do you think that's an NHL-driven thing and the Flyers don't request it?
I think Flyers have no say in anything like that whatsoever.
See, I disagree. My gut feeling is the Flyers want it because I see no way that a league would stick a team with that if they didn't want it. I mean, could you imagine if a team did not want that and every year they start out west? That would be an outrage. Anyway, Patrick, what do you got on the Phillies?
That's an interesting point.
That's what I think it's about, John.
I
bet you they request
it. I had not considered that, but you're right. Like, there's no way they would just...
Never.
No. Because 2 years in, that organization would be like, whoa,
right,
man. Look at everyone else in our division. Like, they're not doing this.
There's
this
no.
This is unfair.
That's what I think. I think the Flyers want it.
Wow, that is really interesting.
Yeah. What do you got on the Phillies, my man?
The Phillies, and real quick, you're so wrong about the Beatles. So wrong. And Ross Tucker, if you're listening, I told you two, three years ago, stop teaching your kids to listen to Taylor Swift and get on the Beatles wagon.
I love the Beatles.
Teach the next generation. They're unbelievable.
But I know. Man, I'm just saying, I don't think most nine-year-olds think that.
Because you hang out with a lot of kids,
okay,
so you would know. Right?
Yeah, all right, true. Patrick, the Phils, go for it.
The Phillies, listen, man, I got my foot covering the break here. The hitting, you know what? The word is still out. Throw anything but a fastball to this team when it's crunch time, and you'll get them swinging. The bats are a problem. The pitching will be there, and I'm not saying we're done, guys, but I'm telling you, man, like, I'm 50-50 on this ball club right now because of the bats and because of Bryce Harper. I think I've seen enough of whatever's going on with him, whatever attitude he's got going. He needs to change his approach, like the off-the-field approach, how he approaches the game when he's walking. Like, it's not good with him. And you know, I'm a little disappointed in Harper.
Patrick,
you know what I mean?
I'm with you. I am a little disappointed, too, and I don't even know exactly what I'm disappointed in. It's just not quite what
Well, I think
I'm
what you're referring
for.
To is body language. Is that a fair way to put it?
I think so. For my leader, what is going on behind the scenes that there's this unspoken something. You know, we saw Alec Bohm. There's something going on there.
But I can take that mistake. It's
We've
not
seen
good
it from him before.
But he gets
mistakes really happen. Emotional.
But Bryce has, you know, there's something that has been working on him, boiling beneath the surface for a while now. I don't know if it's going to affect the outcome, the long-term prognosis.
Yeah. All right, Patrick, give me a great answer. What appeals to kids and adults?
Great answer. Bryce Harper, win a World Series title first, then show me that attitude, and I'll buy it.
Sure.
Hey, Joe, how about Scooby-Doo?
Well, I don't think so. I think a lot of us have love for Scooby-Doo from 30 and 40 years ago, but if you put a 50-year-old in front of a TV right now and said, watch Scooby-Doo, I think most would turn it off quickly.
I don't know. Nick Castellanos would like to have a word with you.
I know he would.
He's an adult, and he likes Scooby-Doo.
But is he the...
No.
What's the word I'm looking for?
The standard. Yeah,
for
I don't
results.
Know.
All right, John, let's get to the trade that happened. The Eagles made late last week while you were out as they acquire Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, I like him.
So what's your mindset here with this one?
He's probably better than what we've got at slot. I always really thought he would. I thought he was going to burst onto the scene. You know, a kid from Penn State. He had the chance down there in Washington, and for a variety of reasons, just never really materialized. But he's got all the skills. It's just a matter of putting it together.
Is he the definitive three? He's the guy that plays the most, other than AJ and Devonta.
I would hope so. He should be. He's got that sort of resume. He's got that sort of talent, pedigree.
Did you hear John last week? And I know you were in town, you know, while on vacation. Did you hear what Brian Mitchell said to Ike?
No.
I want to play this audio because this was really fascinating. We played this on Friday, but it's worth playing again so John can hear it and anyone that didn't hear it can hear it. So, look, I'm excited Dotson's an Eagle. I mean, I think it's an upgrade at three, but I hope it's more of an upgrade than you know, a tiny little upgrade. And ultimately, that'll be based on how good this guy is. And really, in many ways, that'll be based on what he's bringing to the table from a work ethic standpoint. Because obviously, natural skill is there. Listen, John, to something that Brian Mitchell, obviously immersed in the Washington scene, and we know him and love him up here as well, what he said to Ike last week when the trade went down.
What are we getting, B. Mitch, and Johan Dotson?
Well, you know, he's a young man who showed in his rookie season that he can actually play some football. But last year, he didn't have a good year. And then this year, I think he lost some of his confidence. You know, he said it to several reporters that, you know, I got to get my confidence back. And you know me, I'm a person who I believe in hard-nosed football players. I believe in competitive people. You can't be mentally weak. And in this camp, I didn't see him competing like I should see him competing. I saw him moping a little bit. I made a comment last week or so, and I said, you got people out there acting like they're supposed to be given a job, and, you know, that their body language was off. He was one of the guys I was discussing. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? And then when they made this move today, I guess Dan Quinn came in and he said, we're going to compete, okay? And there are people that are moping around, and there are people that are competing. If you're not going to compete, I don't think you're going to fit in Dan Quinn's system. And now he's in Philadelphia. I know one thing, he better get his mental toughness already. Because if he's not mentally tough up there, if he's not playing well, they're going to let him know about it.
I mean, it certainly grabbed my attention when that was said. John, what's your reaction to that?
I've seen it before. It's a perfect opportunity for a fresh start. We will give you all the credit that your work ethic demand. You
know, it certainly explains why why he was available.
Well,
right? I mean, think about it.
Top of the draft, never put it together the way anyone expected, and now he's disposable for a team that, you know, they're trying to just figure it out.
I will say this. While it's exciting to get a receiver who 2 years ago was a first-round pick, I also know that that luster wears off pretty quick.
Yes, but this kind of locker room, this kind of leadership, you would hope that they can steer him.
I agree.
And he is so talented.
But some people, one of two things, either were athletically overrated or their DNA was misread. Like, I don't know what's going on with Nolan Smith right now, but I know this. Right now, a year into his career, it looks like a bad pick. It just does. Mm-hmm. So that happens sometimes. 215-592-9494, your reaction on all that. More on the Phillies and the whole sports scene with Ruben Amaro joining us in studio next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
I am so happy with Window Nation because Window Nation is all about value. And this August, they're giving you a great value during the Window Nation anniversary sale. Right now, buy two windows, you'll get two free. And there's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months. Act now. You'll get an extra $250 credit, too. Window Nation values your satisfaction in their quality, service, and affordability. That's why they stand behind their windows with a lifetime warranty. Window Nation was also recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies, so you can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows. Stop paying more than you have to, and hurry. The sale ends August 31st, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com.